Let's pray together once again. Lord, as we open your word today, help us all to receive it as words from our Heavenly Father speaking to us. And may the good seed fall on good soil here today, where it can take root and grow today and in the coming weeks and the months, and let it bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Give me grace to teach it well and accurately. Grant the hearers discernment, that we would all be led into a greater and greater grasp of what is true and be guarded from error. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm determined today not to celebrate Father's Day by subjecting men to public humiliation in the presence of their families. Happy Father's Day to you too. It is one of the ways you can go. It is one of the major ways preachers go on Father's Day. It's done quite a lot, and it's not as if men don't need admonishment. You know, there are a lot of true things said on Father's Day, you know, from a place like this that doesn't quite fit under honoring dads. You know, that really wouldn't be the title. It's true, but not honoring dads. The trouble is that criticizing and beating down men as men also fits neatly with the spirit of the age. It's part of our culture, of course. And so it's easy, not our church, well, it does leak into the church culture, but it is part of the broader culture, and it's easy for the preacher to kind of go overboard when it comes to taking men to task. It's one of those things that seems natural to us, self-evident to a particular generation. Yeah, of course, that's what you do, that's the way things are. And then later, another generation comes along and they look back and they think, what were they thinking? What? That was common back then? Here you think about how men used to talk about women. You know, they'd say, what? You watch something like a Lucille Ball or something like that. What? That would never go today. You know, so it's a different, with men bashing, you know, older people probably recognize it more than younger people, because the older ones have a better sense of the historical and cultural flow of things. You know, they've lived through some things, and they remember back when things were very different. So what seems natural and self-evident now, you know, they remember back. It's not so self-evident as you think it is. You know, those of you, the world only started 20 years ago. It's not always been this way. The older you are, the more likely you are to be annoyed at the plethora of television commercials in which a man, usually a husband, is a bumbling, idiotic fool whose only saving grace is that he's married to a competent, brilliant wife. Or maybe he has some children who can kind of rescue him from his own imbecility, right? And it's in the world, yes, but it leaks into the church. I mean, that's the culture out there. That's the water we all swim in, and the drift carries us all along. And it flows in here too, where it seems natural, it seems true, it seems self-evident that being a man comes with severe personal, emotional, and relational handicaps. You got to be fixed. And it's the spirit of the age talking. I was listening online, this week, I was listening online to a Christian men's conference. And listen, I'm going to read you a few quotes. Just some things that the main speaker of this thing, of this Christian men's conference, very well known, you know, very, the going thing. Listen to the things he said in the first 10 or 15 minutes. Christian men's conference. If you're married, quote, if you're married, your wife, picture 1,000 men. You know, 1,000 men. That's what it sounded like online. At least 1,000, maybe more. If you're married, your wife is probably hoping something big is happening in your life. while you're here, she's praying, please, Lord, let this be the thing. Oh, I used to chuckle, chuckle. Oh, men, you can tell men, chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. Because they know, that on some level, they are the guy in the TV commercial who makes his wife crazy and her life practically unbearable just by being a man. He said, this is Peter, he said, open your Bible. And if you're a Christian, if you're here today and you're a Christian, you don't have your Bible, that's pathetic. Let your sword at home, man. Don't go out without your sword, that's pathetic. He said, my message today just has one point. I'd like to keep it simple for men. Your wife's not here to write everything down and explain it to you later. And then you hear from the audience, chuckle, chuckle, chuckle.
Yeah, we're doing this.
We don't know any of it. He said, quote, this is going to be very straightforward. This is like entering a quote. This is going to be very straightforward. You're going to be able to understand this. Close quote. So this Christian men's conference, which is not terribly unlike any Christian men's conference, it's sprinkled with these little demeaning digs, and the men take it all in stride and chuckle, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Do they know that they are these, you know, impaired, brain damaged troglodytes the world knows as men? That's why they're there. Fix me. And you're thinking, this is supposed to, you know, build men up? And really, is that what's supposed to be happening here? Now I want to say, you know, this that in between, you know, I read it took a few, it was in the first 10 minutes or so those things were said, but it goes on for like an hour, and there's some good biblical teaching in there. It wasn't heretical or anything, but you know, so there was some building up and some challenging and some really good biblical, but you know, here the speaker giveth with the teaching, and the speaker taketh away with the little digs and the humor and the, you know, I don't know about women's conferences. I don't know about women's Christian conferences, but I just can't imagine stuff like that goes on at those things. I can't imagine a well-known women's teacher saying to thousands and thousands of women in the Colosseum, you know, or something like that, big auditorium. Listen carefully, ladies. My message today is not going to be emotionally based. It's going to be intellectually based, involve some close and careful reasoning, and your husband is not here to explain it. I can't imagine. Or open your Bible, please. And if you don't have your Bible with you, shame on you. You are pathetic as a Christian woman. If you came to this conference and don't have your Bible, shame. I'm going to guess that Christian women's conferences tend to be more affirming than that. A little more uplifting. Certainly less hostile to their audience. And whether Jesus comes back within our lifetimes or whether he tarries, no matter what, there is coming a day when people will look back on our generation and say, what was the deal with the constant man bashing? How did you guys not see through that? And how is it that so many men internalized it all? And and internalize that popular portrayal of themselves. You know, sometimes I think about this, I feel, I kind of identify with the circus elephant that goes mad and he rampages. They have to shoot him and kill him. He's, you know, they're all
running around, throwing everybody around.
I mean, I identify with him. He says, no, I am not getting up on that ball and just making, I am not going to do those tricks for you. I'm an elephant. I'm not a trick dog. You know, I'm not a dog who does tricks. You know, I appreciate it. So my text today for Father's Day is a simple one so the women can keep up.
Oh.
Now, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. I speak as if mad, like Paul says. I speak as if mad. But I just said that. I just said it to kind of jar the senses to the kind of thing that is said to men all the time. But isn't that insulting? Isn't it shocking when you plug in the other gender? This is church, there's only two. But it is a simple, it's a simple text, and it's in the concluding admonishments in 1 Corinthians. Just one verse, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful. It's really almost a benediction. There's things that come afterwards, and that's not purely a benediction. It's be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. And of course, I'm going to focus on that third one particularly. Act like men. In our cultural context, you know, in our world, the world we live in, lots of people would react. Act like what? Act like men? Act like what? That sounds like terrible advice. I mean, is this the Bible telling us to be the oafs and losers and fools and nincompoops we see on television? Is this the Bible telling us to never ask for directions? Is this the Bible telling us to leave the toilet seat up? Is it, mark our territory with dirty socks? Is that what the Bible is advocating here? Is it telling us to never read the instructions? I was helping a man working on fixing something here at the church. I'm not going to say his name. He's sitting right over in this area, right over here. He's always fixing stuff at the church. He's always doing things around here. But once again, I won't embarrass him by mentioning his name. We were fixing something here at the church and having trouble with it. It wasn't working quite right. I don't remember what it was. And he said, hand me the directions. Don't tell my wife. But here is an amazing, countercultural, astonishing concept that we can get from 1 Corinthians 16:13 right now. Apparently, the Bible associates some positive trait or traits with adult males that ought to be emulated by all, certainly not least by men. Isn't that revolutionary? The Bible, act, because it says, act like men. Must be positive. He's not telling us something negative, right? He's not saying behave badly. So the Bible associates something positive, some trait, maybe one, maybe more, with adult males. Whatever can that be? And Lord, how can that be? Well, maybe we can check some other translations, get some help. The English Standard Version is what you've seen on the screen there. The New American Standard reads the same, act like men, no help there. King James says, quit you like men. really means the same thing. But conduct yourselves like men. Old and Christian Standard Version is a little different, but instead of, it makes it a little worse instead of better. It says, instead of act like men, Old and Christian Standard says act like a man. I think, way to go, Baptists. Act like a man. New International Version, which of course a lot of you read, in place of, and I'm not speaking against it here, but it's in place of where these other versions say act like men, it reads be courageous. Be courageous. Which, as I hope to show you in the minutes that remain, really distills the essence of the term fairly accurately. Maybe a little narrower, but it really captures the essence of the term. But it also forfeits something very important that our generation needs very badly to hear. The idea, here's what's missing from that, be courageous. The idea that courage is a core feature of how God made men as men. It severs that. It doesn't invite you to imagine that, right? It says, be courageous. And that this core, you know, it severs that connection between that courage and maleness and manhood, and the idea that how God made men is something good, it's something honorable, it's something that's needed, it's something that's right, it's something that blesses us because of the way God made men. It loses sight of it. And we badly need to hear that. You know, there are four features of womanhood too, of course, by the way, that clearly are a blessing to the rest because God made them a certain way. For example, just an example, if you agree that living life, getting to have a life is good, there's not a single person in the world who wasn't given life through being born of a woman, not one. That special way that God made women. It really doesn't matter if you would not want to live in a world without women, because you can't. She's the mother of all living. And what God calls a blessing, a world at enmity with God calls a curse. You know, people don't talk about the verse very often, but I think the most controversial, most hated verse in the whole Bible, in our generation, in our time, has to be Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them. The concepts embedded in that verse. And that verse, that for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, it seemed innocuous, seemed, you know, just self-evident. Oh, the world in rebellion against God, the devil that the Bible calls the god of this world is consumed, it seems, consumed with hating men as God made them and hating women as God made them and working overtime to make them both into something else, anything else. If you are a man, a world in rebellion against God, and do what the New Testament calls a cosmos, a world system, the way things work in rebellion against God, having turned away from God, is very interested in making you into something different from a man. In the way that 1 Corinthians 16:13 says to do, act like men. And if you're a woman, it's very interested in making you into something different, something other than a woman. The Greek word translated act like men, 1 Corinthians 16:13, is andridzomai. That's not important to know that, memorize that, but it is a word, a single Greek word that's translated act like men or be courageous. And this is its only appearance in the New Testament. It doesn't occur anywhere else. But it appears frequently in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. So the original readers of the Greek New Testament, the Septuagint is the Old Testament they would have been able to read, that they would have read. And so the Septuagint, therefore, is helpful sometimes for helping us understand the meaning of words that don't appear often in the New Testament. Let's see with some other cases, how is this word used? And so we can get a sense of the meaning of it. So that word appears time and time and time again in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. So, for example, when Moses is giving his charge to Joshua, he's passing the mantle of leadership over to Joshua. Joshua is going to be the one who leads the people into the promised land, and it's not going to be without opposition. There's going to be great opposition, right? I mean, it says God gave you this land, but the Canaanites are not going to give it. They're not going to willingly hand it over because God gave it to them. Abraham and his descendants, they've been gone 400 years. This is ours. It was empty when we found it. It's squatter's rights, finder's keepers, possession 9/10 of the law. No, you just can't show up and say God gave it to you. So many hundreds of years ago, is that they're not going to do that. So there's going to be real opposition and real danger. And so here's Moses' charge to the man Joshua. It's Deuteronomy 31. Then Moses, verses 7 and 8, then Moses summoned Joshua. Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. That's our word. That's our word. Andridzomai. Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. Isn't it? You see both ends, right? God gave it to them. God gave it to you. But Joshua, you're going to put them in possession of it. Therefore, you need to be strong and courageous. You need to be the man. You need to act like a man in this situation. It's the Lord who goes before you, Moses continued. He will be with you, and he will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So there you see the other side of it. Positive, be strong and courageous. The negative, do not fear. But that's that word, act like man. Joshua, in front of everybody, Moses tells Joshua, in front of everybody, you're the man now. You're the man. Be strong and courageous. You're the one that's going to put the people in possession of that which I have promised to give. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'll go before you. I won't leave you. The promise is going to come true, but you have to be strong and courageous for that to happen. So Joshua gets the man up talk from Moses, and he gets it from the Lord himself later in the chapter. This is Deuteronomy 31:23. And the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous. That's our word. Be strong and courageous. For you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. And he gets the man up speech again when Moses dies. This is Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Verse 6. Same, there's our word again. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land. See those two sides? You know, there's the divine side, the human responsibility side. God says, I've given it to you. I will give it to you. And he says, you're going to put them in possession of it. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Same, there's our word again. Being careful to do all, being careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. There it is again. Time and time and time again. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Later on, won't turn to it, but later on, Joshua admonishes his men. Guess what he says? And trizomai. He didn't say that word. It's the Greek translation of it. He said, be strong and courageous. Act like men. Quit yourself like men. It was necessary. There were other men who wanted to kill them. Act like men. David passes the mantle on to his son Solomon. Solomon is going to build the temple that David couldn't build, that David was not allowed to build. 1 Chronicles 29:20 says, then David said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Be the man. Be manly. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. So this language, as it, you know, it appears over and over again, it is almost always addressed to men, by men, or to men, by God. So how would you, you know, if we can take that as kind of filling out the meaning, giving us a better sense of what this word means, only appears once in the New Testament, act like men or be courageous, how could you kind of fill it out and get a sense of what it means? Well, how about this? Act on the promises of God despite the opposition, and there will be opposition. Be grounded in the goal and not overwhelmed by the threats and the obstacles. Believe what God has spoken, believe what God has promised, and don't believe the reports of giants in the land. Lead the people, always spoken, you know, from the Lord, or almost always, from the Lord or by men to other men. Lead the people in your charge. Lead the ones God has placed in your charge, whether you or they recognize it or not, into possession of what God has promised. God has promised it. He's promised to give. But you've got to be, for people to take possession of, you have a role in it. Be strong and courageous. You're going to need to be, if they're to take hold of what God has promised. You've got to be courageous in the face of opposition and not fear. Be the secondary cause. Be the secondary causal agent to realizing the promises of God on behalf of the people in your charge. Be the man. Let's go to application. Be the man in your family. Be the man in your marriage. Be the man in your family. Be the men in your church. Be the man where you work. Be a man in the public sphere. Be the backbone of obedience to God. Be the backbone of faith in God in your family, in your church, in your circle of influence, wherever that might be. It means, you know, quite literally, be the man. Be manly. And so now, when you look back at 1 Corinthians 16:13, it kind of hangs all together. You know, these don't appear to be unrelated things anymore, not just a grocery list. It kind of hangs together. It's all of a piece. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Some translate that first one said be watchful, says be alert. That's just what being watchful means. But it certainly means don't be clueless. Don't be the last to know everything. Be aware of what's going on. Pay attention to your responsibilities. Pay attention to what's happening in the lives of those in your charge. You know, what dangers are they courting? What are they wandering into? What's threatening them? So why do you be watchful? Why do you be alert? Because you might have to say or do something manly. Stand firm in the faith. Well, it means you're not blown about by every wind of doctrine. You aren't carried away by whatever the rage of the day is, whatever the popular thing is. Your convictions are not driven by fad. Their popularity means you don't lead by consensus. You lead by conviction. Be strong, skipping over the andritzmai. Be strong. That means not weak. Not vacillating. Remember the baptizer. Oh, we just finished Matthew. John comes up. John the Baptist comes up time and again. Well, he was a strange man, wasn't he? But he was a man. He was a man. And Jesus, remember Jesus says, I think it's chapter 11, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? You know, vacillating, weak. Not one of those guys, right? To switch every way? No. Boy, a man of conviction. You know, it's strong, not weak. You did not go out to see a reed shaken by the wind. And then this third one, which I think last, act like a man. Which means, if you look at those Old Testament duties, it really does mean be courageous. It really does mean that. But if you just say that, you miss a little something because it means be courageous like a man. And of course, in the context of 1 Corinthians 16, it's a context of a Christian man, right? Be courageous like a Christian man. Stand firm in the faith. Apply God-given manly traits to how you live as a Christian. Now there are two sides. Well, time's up. I gotta hurry. Two sides of this coin in the biblical usages of this andritzmai, if we include the Septuagint, you know, the Old Testament usages. One is that, you know, you have to say this. We have to be told. We have to be reminded. We have to be admonished. We have to be encouraged to act like men. Because if it was just inevitable, it's just inevitable for Joshua to act like a man, be manly, you know, because he was one, why would he have to be told so many times? Why would he have to be, you know, encouraged and emboldened and built up? It's not as if there's no danger of men not being like this, because that's what they are. That's not the case. There are forces that work militantly, stubbornly against your, say, our being strong and courageous like a man was made to do. Like I said, the world's working overtime. You know, it said to discourage every man and every boy from becoming a person who acts like a man. Sometimes it leaks into the church, you know, leaks into families, leaks into, yeah, and really, sometimes, lots of times, leaks into the man himself. It internalizes these things. So they know deep down, yeah, that's true. I am that doofus in the commercial on some level. Maybe not as bad as him, but yeah, I recognize it. Well, one of the greatest casualties of the spirit of our age is the collapse of the idea of male dignity. So much so that a word that translates most naturally, act like men, no longer communicates anything good, anything needful, anything useful. So maybe it's just better to cut the confusion out of it and just say courageous. Because it does mean. So there's one side of the coin. We really do have to be told and encouraged and admonished to act like men, to be strong, stand firm in the faith, be alert, because there's a real possibility we will not. And you know, and if you're technically connected, you know, and if you look at the internet for your news, and if you have a television set that's on sometimes, and you listen to car radio, I can't imagine you don't hear 20 messages a day attacking anything positive to do with maleness, what it means to be a man. And the men hear them, and the women hear them, and the wives hear them, and the kids hear them. So if Joshua had to be admonished to take up his role, Joshua, he didn't have any internet, he didn't have any television, if he had to be admonished to be strong, be act like a man, how much more modern men? But here's the other side, and I hope that's not beating up dads on Father's Day. It's just the truth. But here's the other side of the coin. Here's the other side of the coin. It is built into men, as men, to be strong and courageous in that, you know, unique way because of the way God made men. Men are not told to become something that they are not. That's not in them. We're told to realize and live out what we are as God made us, as God calls us to be, which is strong and courageous. But one of the things I read for pleasure, if you can believe this, are military histories. And I don't read it for the technical parts of it, you know, the art of warfare, you know, technologically. I really drawn more interested in the personalities and the strategies, human challenges involved. And let me tell you, this is apart from being a man of faith, apart from being a Christian or anything. You read military history there, you come across lots of nervy men. Lots of men who are real men. Themistocles. 5 centuries before Christ. I mean, he's not a Christian. He's not a, nor a Jew, but this, oh my goodness, you know, mobilizing Athens to withstand the Persian hordes, you know, and being victorious against, you know, 20-1 odds. Stonewall Jackson, devout Christian. But what a leader. William Tecumseh Sherman. His family's Roman Catholic. The only thing he would say of his own faith is he was not born. But, boy, manly, strong, courageous, daring, shapers of reality. You know, they made things happen. Bravely facing overwhelming obstacles, enduring hardships, and getting others to endure hardships with them. They bent the world to their will. And you begin, when you read these things, you begin to realize why it's always used in the past. The men who find their way to the battlefield to protect, defend them, put themselves in harm's way for some greater and higher value than self-preservation, personal safety, to be the ones that put themselves between some threat and their family and their wives, their children, their lands, to take their stand where they have to equip themselves like men. And you find they tell themselves that too. So here's, if you don't take anything else away from the day, and I'll end, you must believe that God has put it in you, in this topic, to live out what He expects of us, what He commands of us. And if you get that out of your time being here, say, it's woven into me as a man. It's woven into me what God calls me to be, to do. That's enough. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Because God has made you to be exactly that way. Father, help us all to resist being pressed into the world's mold, not to be conformed to the warped expectations and values of a world of enmity and rebellion against you. Help our men to be what you have made and call us to be. And help our women to be what you have made and call them to be. Help us all to fight the good fight of faith, not just in what we say we believe, but how we live and how we see ourselves. Thank you today on Father's Day for our men and our fathers and for every way they fulfill your design for them. For in every way they do, they're a blessing to all. Increase the faith of every believing person here today and let it begin in the unbelieving but open heart. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.